Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with you. It is the Ben and Ben Show today. I have Ben Danner from Overton County. He is the mayor in Overton County. Been the mayor since 2014. Your second term was county commissioner before that. We've had Ben on before. Great knowledge, just a lot of insight that he has. And so we're excited to have him back in. How you doing this morning?
Doing good. You know, I've been called a lot of things today, but never great knowledge. So thank you for that. You know, that was That was brightened my day, I guess. Now I have a good time. You know, I hope the election works out for both of us. I know you're running for.
I hadn't decided yet.
Well, I hope you're running for county commissioner.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
So maybe, you know, we could have a career in radio because we've got faces for that. You know, so who knows? But maybe it'll work out for our counties that we stay in our job we've got.
We definitely have faces for radio. We do not need to be on TV. So all you media outlets out here looking to get Ben and Ben on TV, it's probably not going to help you out. Your ratings are probably going to go down. So Overton County, of course, there's a lot going on always there since you've been in. It's actually expanded services, and it's just been a great place to be. You've done a great job. Your commission does a great job. I rarely ever get calls from you concerned about your commission. You know, they do a good job. And so here lately, one of the topics I've been having on the radio the last few weeks, because it's that time every 10 years is redistricting. I actually didn't work with you and your county on redistricting. The state did. I think, Matthew Hill, did he work with y'all?
Well, someone from his office did, but, okay. You know, I was involved 10 years ago when, of course, they closed a lot of voting precincts 10 years ago. I mean, the public was really, you know, upset about a lot of the voting precincts that the election commission closed then. And, this time we didn't have the growth that we had 10 years ago, so we didn't really move that many people. Well, I think we moved 700, and that was the minimum, you know, that we could move. The Rickman district, of course, that's where the growth in Overton County's at, in Rickman, and we had to move several hundred out of that district into the third district and move some of those people into the second. But it didn't move any county commissioners. It didn't move any school board members. And, you know, like I said, we tried to move as few people as possible. You know, I don't know myself. And a lot of the commissioners, we've talked about it. I don't think the census numbers are really accurate because of COVID, because they really couldn't go out like they did before. I mean, the 10 years before, we gained over 1,000 people, and this time we gained, you know, 300 and something. And I know we've had a lot more houses than that built. So it's not a fun time to be on the county commission when you're redistricting. Because, right. You know, people, you know, a lot of these people we moved have voted in that area for the whole time they voted, and they have to move to another place. I don't think it's as bad as it was several years ago because we have early voting going now. Most people go early vote instead of going election day. So, some of the moves we made, though, like in the Copeland Cove area out in the fairgrounds, then people had to go to the mountain to Alpine to vote, and we moved them to the fairgrounds. So it actually made it easier on a lot of people because, you know, we've had people that could see a voting precinct in front of them, but they had to drive 15 miles away to vote. So, you know, that was a time to try to straighten up some of those.
So do you remember why 10 years ago there were so many precincts that were closed? Was it money? Was it just not enough people showing up to vote?
Well, they closed some of them because of handicap accessibility.
Okay.
You know, so, and that's been an issue in the past. Of course, everybody used to vote at the annex building we were in, the old hospital. And when I got elected, I really didn't feel like it's right for everybody to have to walk past four or five elected offices to go vote. You know, I mean, it's probably a disadvantage for the ones running, and it's not in the building now. But, you know, I moved them to the Joel Evans building, and it's a lot more accessible for people to get in and out. And they've got that, you know, the gym's 3,000 square foot, a lot more room to spread people out and vote. And I just think it's better when people can go into a building that don't have a bunch of elected offices where the office holders are standing out, you know, pressure them to vote, which we all want people to vote for us. But when you go to vote, I mean, that's your time to go in there and, you know, do whatever you think's right.
Yeah. You know. Well, the more precincts you have, the more availability or access, I guess, you have for people to drive. But one thing you said just a minute ago, people are early voting. And so you don't need as many precincts because, a few of the counties I've talked to, they're having half of their people come in and early vote.
Oh, yeah. Early voting's a big thing. And, you know, I don't know if we've talked about it on the radio before, but last year I got some COVID funds to pave the parking lot at the Joel Evans building. And when we had the president election, you know, the first day early voting, which that was probably the biggest one day of early voting we've ever had. We had almost 1,000 people vote. So the grant I had to pave before the voting started, and it rained the day before, so I had to close the parking lot off to the election office and pave the day we had, the first day when the president election was. So a lot of unhappy people that day. I'm glad I wasn't on the ballot, but, you know, I got a $60,000 grant, and it's either do it before the voting started or not do it. So we did do it, and it worked out, but probably the only place in the United States that closed their whole parking lot down on the first day of the president election, I guess. But, you know, I mean, that's how we do sometimes.
Well,
there,
so. I mean, sometimes, well, but the thing about now, you've got to pay parking lot. And so when they vote again, they're like, oh, we got this nice parking lot. We got to worry about running the pot, a gravel pothole or anything like that. So in the end, it was the right decision.
Oh, yeah, it was. And, you know, if it hadn't rained the day before, we'd have got it done the day before the voting, which, you know, it seems like sometimes it don't exactly work out every time like you. Oh, but it will for the future. You know, it will help.
Well, now, you and I know in county government, things don't work out like you think they're going to.
No, you know, one out of 100 times they do. Then, you know, the other times, maybe not.
County government is very unpredictable. As I've talked about on the show with several guests over the years, and it's just we try our best, but sometimes it don't work out. So speaking of county government, one of the things you've done this month, you know, Overton County has 18 commissioners?
15.
I'm sorry. 15 commissioners. And I actually like that. So I've bragged on you before. I'm going to brag on you again. 15 commissioners, odd number commissioners is ideal. 15 is a good number. It's right in the middle, basically, of the statutory minimum and the statutory maximum. But 15, you never have a tie unless somebody's out, unless there's a vacancy or somebody's not.
We have had one tie in the past that I voted on several years ago. But, you know, this has been a, now, we did appoint a person. We appointed Cindy Robbins, who's not new to the commissions. She served, I think, from 2006 to 2010 with me on the commission. But we appointed her in the place of Frank Martin, who'd been a commissioner for 21 years that passed away. And this term, we've appointed three people. We've had three commissioners pass away. So that's, you know, a little unusual for us. And we've, you know, we went through a lot of appointing people. We've got the commission full now, and I do have one commissioner, Greg Nivens. He's in active duty in Iraq right now. So, you know, we still have 14, even though we got 15, we got 14 till he gets back.
Right. And so we've talked about the vacancy process before here, but one of the things we probably did not talk about, sometimes I'll get a phone call about the process, and one of the phone calls I got, I can't remember if it was from you or not, and it doesn't matter if it was, but basically to fill a vacancy on the county commission floor for that county court, as we call it, a commissioner has to nominate you or another commissioner or has to nominate you to be a commissioner. It can't come from a citizen. You know, a citizen can ask a county commissioner to nominate somebody, but a citizen from the floor can't nominate somebody for commission. That's just the TCA. That's state law. Once you're nominated, if the commissioner nominates you, there was a misunderstanding where that commissioner that nominated you or whoever it is, they couldn't vote for you. Well, that's wrong. They can. Just because a commissioner nominates somebody to fill a vacancy on the commission, that, you know, doesn't mean they can't vote for them. They can vote for them. Goes with all the nominations in committees at the county government level. If somebody nominates me to fill a position on the committee or be on the committee, that person can vote for me. So that's just a little bit of information.
Yeah, we had a misunderstanding with the county attorney, but which the way we're doing it now is the way we've always done it. You know, I run it in the newspaper, and I give them the Friday before the court meeting. That way, Monday of the court meeting, I can go to the election office, and I can make sure the people that put in can actually serve because they have to live in that district to be appointed to that. And, you know, of course, Cindy Robbins just got appointed, and she'll be serving until the end of August next year, and she'll have to run again. But then they have to come to the court meeting, you know, or send a letter, I guess, to the commission that night, and then I let them all get up and speak, and then the commissioners can ask questions, and then they nominate them. Then we vote, you know, and then they vote for, you know, we do one vote, and they either get a vote. If it's like the other night, there was two people nominated, so three people put in for it. So, you know, I told them when they done the roll call, you vote for the person you want, and if somebody gets eight votes, they'll get nominated. And Sydney did get eight votes. We had 11 commissioners there, so.
Wow, you had 11 commissioners out of 15 possible, which you said one is in Iraq and serving active duty. But were people sick? Or
Some of them were. We've got one of our commissioners, Billy Phipps, has been on a commission for over 20 years. He's got colon cancer, and he's been operated on. He's back at home now, but it's going to be a long process. But they think they got all the cancer. Billy's a really good commissioner and really good friend of mine, and you know, I hate it that he's going through that, but they think they've got it. So I think, you know, he'll probably be back next month.
Well, we'll start sending up some prayers for him. I didn't know that. So I'm glad you let us know. He is a good commissioner. How long has he served?
He served. Now, Gene Moore passed away, you know, a few months ago, and Gene had served 33 years.
Right.
And Billy, he's served almost 30. You know, Gene's kind of interesting. She got appointed in 1981, and then she served four terms, and then she didn't run, and then she got appointed again in 2001, and she served for 20 years after that. So, and she resigned when she went into the nursing home before she passed away, and, you know, she said she felt like needed someone else because she couldn't do it, but I told her to keep an open mind in case she wanted to get appointed again because she'd been appointed a couple times. But she is a really good commissioner, and Frank Martin, too, and, you know, it's hard, and, you know, being a commissioner, when you got commissioners that's been on there 20 or 30 years and, you know, have helped start processes and seen what worked and what didn't work. I mean, it's really a loss for the community because, you know, Frank Martin and Gene and Harley McCowan was on there too, and he passed away when we first got elected. But, you know, they worked to try to get employees raises and try to do things to bring the county, you know, I mean, we were behind, I think, you know, far as growth and looking to the future. And we've done that without raising taxes for this will be 7 years in a row we've not, which is a record, I guess, for Overton County. But it's just hard when you have that kind of knowledge and they pass away and leave. And then you get other people. I mean, we've got good commissioners now, too. But, you know, they really helped lead us. And Frank, when I got elected for the commission, he was on there and he was really good to help me. And he run businesses and, you know, knowed, you know, what he was doing. And, was just a, you know, it's just a great loss.
Yeah. And so you lost three this term and that's a lot of knowledge that's gone, but obviously y'all are rolling on and we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back on Local Matters. You're listening to Ben Danner, Overton County Mayor, and this is Ben Rogers. We'll take a break and be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Overton County Mayor Ben Danner. Good conversation in the first segment about filling the vacancies for their county commission. They've had three vacancies this term because of health issues and people passing away, and that creates a vacancy. Just did one this week, I guess Monday night, you said?
Yes.
So when you've had three in one term, and that is unprecedented, I know my first term in Putnam, we had to do two. Is you got new commissioners, and I know you said Ms. Robbins had been a commissioner before, but those that maybe have never had any experience in county government, do you offer some orientation to them, or do you offer to come by and you talk to them about what, you know, what kind of what's going on? How do you do that?
Well, you know, of course, I know CTAS Online has a lot of courses, and I've showed them that and have them come by my office, and, you know, because it's a lot. I mean, if you've never done budgets and never seen county budgets, I mean, the, you know, there's a lot of line items you get to looking at, and it gets really confusing, and then you get thrown plumb into the fire. I mean, like I tell them the night when they get, I swear I'm in, then I said, then you get swore at. That's the way it works when you're a commissioner. But, you know, it's a lot to take on, and especially when you're taking the place of a commissioner, been on there 30 years that knowed what was happening. But, you know, Roger Carr got appointed to Hillham. He never served, and I went over some stuff with him, but it's just a learning curve, and, you know, it takes a little bit for them to know. And we actually, I got to think about that when you said three. We've actually appointed four people because I had another commissioner move.
Okay.
He moved from the 5th district to the 1st district. So we appointed him in the spot where Gene Moore resigned, and then we appointed somebody else in the 5th district.
Okay.
So we've had four this term out of 15 we've changed and appointed. So.
Yeah, that's quite a few, but three, only three new commissioners because the one moved.
Yes.
And that reminds me, so – a lot of the majority of the questions I get when it comes to commission procedure and actually meetings from like my friends or citizens, they'll call me and say, what determines a voice vote and a roll call vote? And of course, you know, state law says you got to do a roll call on anything monetary, basically. So if you're passing the budget, you're doing a budget amendment, the county clerk's going to call for every individual commissioner's vote, yes or no. And they can pass, but a pass is the same thing as a no. A voice vote where all in favor say aye and everybody just says aye or nay or whatever, that can be on anything else. However, some counties like to do a lot of roll call votes. So they may say in their rules procedures, we're going to do a roll call vote on anything to do with passing a county road, you know, something like that. But do you ever have to explain to those new commissioners, hey, we'll do a roll call vote here, we'll do a voice vote here? Do they ever ask, why did we do a roll call vote when just a minute ago we did a voice vote? Do you ever get those questions?
I do, and, you know, a lot of times if it's something that I feel is really important for the county, we will do a roll call. Because, you know, sometimes if it's a voice vote and people don't really have to say, sometimes they'll vote against things that they probably wouldn't have if it had been a roll call vote. So, you know, we passed a resolution against the vaccine mandate to send to the governor, which I got vaccinated myself. I mean, the only thing I want to say about COVID is I got vaccinated, but I'm not for making people get vaccinated. So we did pass that. And one commissioner voted against it and 13 voted for it. But, you know, I mean, that was a roll call, but, you know, I felt that was something important where people know that, you know, we're not all counties are dealing with this, which I think we got to stay from the Supreme Court that it's unconstitutional, what they're ordering us to do. But I think all of us would be in trouble for employees if we had to make everyone get vaccinated.
Yeah, that's been a hot topic. I had Congressman Rose on and, you know, I asked him about that. Of course, he'd been vaccinated, but he said he wasn't for making anybody be vaccinated. So,
yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I hope we're getting past COVID. I mean, the numbers are down lower than we've almost ever have. I mean, 2 months ago, I mean, we had more than we'd ever had. I think everybody's really, you know, they don't want to talk about it no more. We don't, you know, we had our Halloween on the square, on Halloween and, you know, we hadn't had one in 2 years and we're going to have the Christmas parade. I mean, we had several thousand people turn out pouring the rain. I mean, you know, the kids come out for candy, you know, and we give out about 10,000 pieces of candy, the elected officials did, at our booth. But, you know, people's ready to get back to normal. You know, who knows if normal's going to be the normal we knowed before, but I think it's better, you know, than what it was last year.
Yeah. You mentioned the Christmas parade. Let's talk about that right quick. So you are doing a Christmas parade this year?
We are, and of course, last year we wanted to, but we didn't get to because of COVID, but and, you know, something that we've done since I've been in office, the county executive and the city mayor used to ride in a parade together. And so we started all the elected officials, all nine of us. We ride on a float together and we throw out candy and, you know, we dress up like Christmas Vacation sometimes. I think this year the theme is Christmas at the movies. So I may be Cousin Eddie, you know, this time, or maybe James Nard, the road superintendent. He's got a hat that looks like that. But, you know, we get up there and throw out a lot of candy. Sometimes the candy sails a little too far and it may hit someone. Mm-hmm. And we're sorry if it does. But sometimes I point at the sheriff, John Garrett, and say he's the one throwed it if I'm the one throwed the candy and hit somebody. But, you know, it's really fun. I mean, you know, all of us, we like to, you know, do that and ride. And you know, it shows unity of all the elected officials because, you know, we've never done that ever. We all do the Halloween booth together. We do that at Christmas in the parade. Another thing we do, at the highway department, we leave on the float and we ride all the way from the highway department to the bypass and all of us ride on the float. And that's almost as fun as doing the parade because we see a lot of people we know and wave at them. And while we're trying to hold on to the Christmas tree and ornaments while we're going 45 or 50 down the road. So, I mean, that's always a fun time, too.
Yeah, for those listening, the highway department's not in the city of Livingston. Well, it is, but it's not, like, downtown. It's not even close to downtown, really.
Yeah, it's out on Highway 84, so it's, you know, we probably ride 5-6 miles, you know, to where the parade starts. And, you know, the first year I had a lot of texts. People will know if we were, you know, all, you know, there or not. And I said, well, we all run for office, so maybe we're not. But, you know, I mean, we just like to, you know, get out and throw candy to the kids and, you know, show everybody that we all work together and try to do what's best for the people in the county.
Well, and I think that's good in counties that have officials that are trying to work together. I mean, every official, county official does something different for the county. There's no one official, two officials that do the same thing. There's not two county mayors. There's not two trustees. So all of y'all are doing different duties or providing different services for the county. And when you can work together and show unity like that and actually do things together, it puts off a good message to your people, and it makes, you know, hopefully it helps them see that y'all are working for them.
Sometimes, you know, talking about that, now we had Larry King pass away. He'd been our assessor of property for 36 years. And so Larry passed away, and the family had asked James Nard, our road superintendent, to lead the singing at the funeral. And, of course, James is not a singer professionally. I mean, and he asked me if I'd help him at the funeral. So, you know, that's a little bit out of our comfort zone, but I got up there with James and we sung six songs. And I did say before we done it that if Larry raised up and told us to quit singing, we might not want to do that. But, you know, I said that day, Larry King is the only official that could get a bipartisan singing group together, because we had a Democrat and Republican singing together at a funeral. So, you know, we're not booking gigs at funerals or nothing, but, you know, we do what we have to do, you know, to help the people out.
That's pretty good. We'll miss Larry. Larry was a good guy. He was always kind to me when I go in his office. He never really needed any help. I think the only time he called me, and I don't care to talk about it as we're coming up against a break, but he called me probably in 2011, 2012 and said, yeah, do I have to pass a policy for nepotism in my office? And I said, no, sir. I said, you have your own personnel policy you can use at your office. You're the county official. You're the elected official at your office. You can hire who you want to. He said, so this county policy that the current county executive at the time was trying to do was null and void. And I said, yes, sir. I said, you have your own personnel policy. And you talk about relieved. Larry was relieved, but he was also hot before he called me. That's probably the maddest I'd seen him. So anyway, we got more to talk about with Ben Danner as we come back. Good information as always with him. He will not start singing, I promise. We got one more segment with him.
Oh, man.
He's not going to sing. We'll be back after the break on Local Matters. This has been Rogers with Ben Danner. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Overton County Executive. I've been saying mayor. It's technically executive, right?
Well, I get called a lot of things. Some days it's three letters. Some days it's four. But you know, it's county executive. I mean, you know, we were county executive. Then it got changed to county mayor. Then back to executive. And I'm just going to, you know, leave it alone and roll with it.
Yeah. That's what I thought. So I want to get that right. So, you know, haven't mentioned what just passed at the federal government. There's an infrastructure bill that's passed Congress. A lot of discussion on that. We're not going to get into the weeds on that. We know the infrastructure bill looks like it's going to be strictly for infrastructure, but not the kind of infrastructure the ARP funds have come down for this year. And we're going to get into that in just a second. But the infrastructure bill was just passed. There's a lot to it. Like I said, we're not going to get into detail right now, but we do know it looks like they're looking at roads. So there's mixed feelings on that, and you don't have to have an opinion, but you can tell me, you know.
I've got an opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd love to hear it. So if it's fixing roads, that's great. You know, county roads, state roads, federal roads, you know, you want them to be in good shape. That's less wear and tear on your vehicle. You know, your vehicle lasts longer. It's all just like a domino effect. If you got good roads, then your car is going to last longer. So there's a lot of money coming down. But as with the ARP money, that's a lot of debt for this country, and it's going to be paid back at some point in time. So, infrastructure bill for the new one. We'll get to ARP in just a second. You got some roads in Overton County you're going to fix?
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of roads. You know, the ARP funds, I mean, we're getting close to $9 million, and it's got to be used for water. A lot of it does. So, I mean, I'd love to turn that $9 million into roads. I can't do it with the first batch. I know the second batch we're going to. We've tried to pay off a lot of debt. I mean, we built a new county building. We just sold the annex building. It brought $301,000, which is a lot more than we were expecting. And we paid that on the debt for the new building. So in 2 years, our bonds will be freed up and the county building will be paid off in less than 2 years. And Overton County will be debt free, except for the school bonds and what we've got for the nursing home. So we talked about borrowing money to try to pave roads. I mean, you know, we're so far behind, which what gas tax money we're getting is not enough to do the roads we need to. So, I mean, I've not seen numbers yet about what the infrastructure bill is going to do as far as how many millions of dollars. What I do worry about is when the gas tax passed, you know, it started costing more to pave roads. When everybody got money to do extra, it costs more. I mean, it's like this water infrastructure. it costs a lot more now to put water lines in than it ever has. So we ain't going to be able to do as much as we could, but we probably got 200 or 300 miles of gravel roads still in the county. And we've got a lot of miles of chip roads. Highway 42 at Rickman, that's 8 miles. And when the state built Highway 111, which has been a really good asset for Overton County, they gave us Highway 42 and it become a county road. We didn't have any county roads that were paved that were 8 miles long. I mean, it's going to need paving the next few years, and that's probably going to be $1 million to pave that road. So it's good that we, you know, we get new roads, but then we get given other roads, and it, you know, it puts a burden on the taxpayers. But, you know, that's hard with roads because you can pave two or three roads people drive on, but unless you pave the road they live on, you know, it doesn't seem like they – you know, it satisfies anybody, and I get it. I mean, if you're living on a road that's rough, I mean, I get a lot of calls, and I call the highway department about it, and they're working on as many as they can, and they've paved a lot of road. They've got a paving crew now, and they're actually paving where we couldn't in the past, but what money we get is not enough to keep up with it, and it's just we're so far behind. You know, this infrastructure bill I think will be a major way, which, you know, I feel like we'll probably have meetings, and we'll probably take certain roads and different districts because, you know, I mean, everybody's going to want their road paved. When they find out if we're getting 10 million or whatever we're getting, I mean, everybody was going to want the road paved, but that's not enough money to pave every road. I mean, $10 million might get 100 miles. It probably won't then because the prices will be more then, I guess. So we'll just have to take the roads and they do that. The ones that have the most traffic and the ones that are the worst, they start with them first and try to pave them. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, because we've never had that kind of influx of money coming in, which, like you say, I mean, our great-great-grandkids are going to owe for this money we're getting. But, you know, every county and every city's getting this money, and we need to, you know, make the best use of it and, you know, get things done that we couldn't have done without it. So
that's what everybody said. That's the common thing is, no matter what, we're getting the money, so we might as well put it to good use for our citizens and make their quality of life better. And this infrastructure bill, part of it anyway, that's going towards roads is going to hopefully do that for some rural counties in Upper Cumberland, not actually all the counties, I hope. So ARP money, though, that's been going on since May, approved in March and issued in May. Have you spent any of your ARP money yet?
Well, the only thing we've spent so far, which we put it in our budget in July, is premium pay for employees. And we've been doing that for volunteer firemen. We've done rescue squad. We're working on UT extension. We've done the health department. I mean, the health department, you know, they're the ones that took the brunt of this COVID. They're the ones doing the testing and the vaccines and, you know, wanted to do them, you know, help them out too and do checks for them. And, you know, this is the one time, I mean, pay is, I mean, you know, I mean, places are paying a lot more than what the county governments are. And, you know, it's hard for them to find people at what they're paying. I mean, you know, we're in a point now where our pay, most counties is far behind. I mean, we're losing people like to Putnam County and places, and you all are losing them like to Nashville and places. So, you know, this is the one time that we can use money to offset instead of a pay raise like we need to do. You know, I brought up to the commission and it passed unanimous that, you know, we do this, and this is a one-time out of this ARP funds that will keep it off the taxpayers' burden to try to give raises. So we, you know, because employees have run it a lot through this COVID, too. So, and the volunteer firemen, I mean, you know, they save us hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. I mean, they go to the wrecks and fires, and they help us, and, you know, none of them get paid. And, you know, I wanted to do what we could to help them out, too, because we help the departments, but we've never actually got to help the firemen. So this was, you know, the one time that we could do that too. And, I'm just glad that the commission felt like I did that this is the one time that we could, you know, try to help with pay.
Are the other employees getting raises like in the courthouse and the annex?
Well, you know, we're
or bonuses,
we're,
I should say.
Yes. All the county employees. Okay. Employees did. Okay. And,
what was the amounts?
Well, it was different depending on the county employees. All of the Sheriff's Department Ambulance Service was $2,000. And then we're doing the ones that were not employees, like Rescue Squad and stuff, we're doing $500 apiece for them. And I like to do part-time too, but, you know, we're kind of – it don't take long to run through that kind of money when you're – you know, we've paid out, I think, 400 and something employees we've done that with. But, you know, I mean, there's no way with tax dollars we could have done that. I mean, with property tax, we would have had to raise taxes 50 cents to have been able to – you know, help those employees out. So that was a really good thing. That I mean, COVID's been bad, but it's good that we got the money to be able to do that to help them.
Yeah, the premium pay for counties and up and coming, or well, in the state for that matter, is across the board. It's different across the board, I should say. It's some counties are doing 3,000 full time, 1,500 for part time, and then you got some that's done 4,000 full time and 2,000 part time, and you got some that's done 2,000 and 1,000, and some that's not done part time. Now, I do know of a couple of counties that are considering not doing anything, and they asked me, and I said, hey, it's your money. In my county, we're doing it. My county, we appreciate what the employees have done for us and sticking through COVID. And, you know, they could have left. They could have done something else. They could have been, had a lot of fear and decided they didn't want to go through that. And they've stuck it out, and we've benefited from them being there, and we're going to reward them.
Oh yeah. That's exactly what we thought. Cause, you know, I mean, without the sheriff's department and the ambulance service and the people in the health department doing the things they were doing, we couldn't have made it through this. And those people are not here working for the money. Because if they were, they'd be somewhere else working or doing some other line of work. And we're lucky we've got them. I kind of worry about when they retire, if we'll have people fill their positions later on. But, you know, they do a really good job. And, you know, and when people call 911, they want somebody qualified in the ambulance to come out and help them. They want somebody at the sheriff's department trained. But, you know, it's hard. It's a hard balancing act about property taxes and actually being able to pay the employees what they need.
Sure.
Now, yeah. We are looking next year. We started working on next year's budget, and we're looking at trying to do pay raises next year, but we're going to have to look at all the departments and see what the numbers look like. But, you know, I mean, we know we're behind, and we've tried to help pay. Now, we do pay all of an employee's insurance now for a single employee, which is a big benefit, because in 2014, when I took office, it cost almost $500 for a single employee to get insurance, and now we pay all of that. So, that's a big benefit, but, you know, we're working on pay and going to try to get it, because we need to keep these people trained that's here. We were a training ground for other counties in the past, and, you know, we don't really want to be in that situation anymore. So.
Yeah. The sales tax revenues kind of helped y'all with your budget, too, keep taxes down, right?
Sales tax revenue is the greatest thing, I guess, that's happened since I've been in office, you know, and we go to conferences and we learn a lot of good information. You do training for us at a lot of the conferences. And but, you know, when I went to a conference in 2015, and Larry Waters, the county mayor in Sevier County, who's been here probably longer than we've been alive, yep, and as county mayor, told me about doing a sales tax audit, and he was telling about what benefits were, and I'd never heard of that. And I come back to Overton County after the conference and got to checking into it, and we done that, and we got $260,000 in one lump sum of back sales tax. And, you know, up until that year, $700,000 was the most we'd ever gotten one year over in county's part of the sales tax. Then we hit $1 million. Last year, we hit $2 million. This year, we've already hit $2 million, and we've got 3 months left of the year of numbers to go. So we could hit $2.5 million. I mean, that's three times the sales tax we got 7 years ago. And, you know, that's the fairest tax, because everybody's coming in is paying it. But that's definitely kept it off of the property taxes, because – I mean, we've never had growth like that in sales tax. And, you know, it's just, you know, when COVID hit, everybody was worried if our sales tax going to drop off. Of course, it's went up since COVID. People staying at home, ordering an Amazon, you know, the internet sales tax has really helped. But we've had a lot of new businesses come in, and, you know, that's been a lot of our sales tax too. But that's tremendous when you can have the sales tax growth that we've had. For our size of county, we have quite a bit of sales tax. I mean, a lot of the counties around, I've looked at our sales tax, and even bigger counties, some of them don't have the sales tax numbers that we've got. So that's definitely a plus.
So doing that sales tax audit is one of the best things you've done, and that's something that's going to keep going. So that's,
oh yeah. And I brought it up to the commission, which you know, you have to pay the auditor part of the money you get,
yeah,
up front. And, you know, some of them didn't like that part, but I said, if we don't, we're not going to be getting that sales, yeah, tax. And I mean, it's paying millions of dollars every year. So that, you know, that's, yeah, that has been probably one of the, if not the greatest thing done since I've been in the office.
It's better to get something than nothing. So, Ben, thanks for being here. You've been great as always. Good information from Overton County. Remember, folks, great place to be. Go visit Ben in his office. He'll welcome anybody in. Livingston's a great place to be. So hope you have a great weekend. Remember, smile at each other. It's a lot easier to smile than it is a frown. I promise you that. Have a great weekend. This has been Local Matters with Ben and Ben. We'll see you next week.